Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Father, we are thankful and grateful. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy, for the gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that we have of you. This afternoon, Lord, we avail our hearts to you. Give us of your spirit to teach us. Holy Spirit, guide us into the word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord and please sit on top of your enemy. He shall never rise again. Amen. Wonderful. Well, we are still sharing on the seven great principles. The seven great principles. We shared about seven great principles of salvation. A very fundamental and very important message, and I encourage all of you to listen to these messages again. It will strengthen your knowledge as a Christian and fortify your faith. Hallelujah. And it is very encouraging also to help you grow in Christ. Hallelujah. And last week we started on another seven great principles, and this time it was seven great principles on spiritual growth. Seven great principles on spiritual growth. And we started by reading a scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, and it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Amen. Grow in grace. Meditate on the scripture. It's your scripture of the week. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. We ought to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That means you have to read your Bible. Listen to messages. Come to church. Do not miss any opportunity where the word of God is shared. Hallelujah. Do not miss it. And do not take it for granted. Hallelujah. You know, on the day of the Lord's coming, it will be very, very interesting, you know. And I believe it will just be like the day of Noah, when the man was preaching and preaching and preaching and talking about the flood that was coming, and everybody thought it was a joke until the flood started, and they were still making fun of him. They said, "What rain have we not seen before?" You know, and it continued to rain, and it continued to rain, and then the weather forecast will bring a cast that, oh, it's going to stop in 2 days, and it continued to rain, defiling all form of wisdom of man and all form of man's prediction until the flood came and swept them. And that is how it shall be. People will be marrying and being given in marriage. People will be trading. People will be going to school. You see, recently it started raining, and it was raining for a few days, and some people were afraid. But they don't know the word, because God is not going to destroy the world again with a flood. But people were afraid the way the rain was going. Yes. And you can see that it is a real thing. That God, if God allows this rain to continue, if the rain that started would have continued for another week, you will not even have a place to sleep. Are you listening? Yeah. The whole city of New York comes to a standstill on a rainy day like that. Let us trust in the Lord. and believe in God. Amen. So we shared about these principles, and the first principle we said, after you are born again, accept that you are either a spiritual baby, a spiritual child, or a spiritual adult. We shared a lot on these things, and I want you to listen to last week's message. Either you are a spiritual baby, a spiritual child, or a spiritual adult. And we explain it to the lens such that you can identify in yourself that I think I'm a spiritual baby or I'm a spiritual adult. So I think you need to listen to that message. It's very important. Hallelujah. Then we said the second principle is that after you are born again, you become a spiritual baby and are dominated by the flesh. You are dominated by the flesh. The flesh dictates what you do because you are a spiritual baby. Hallelujah. But you will grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You should not stay a spiritual baby. Hallelujah. And we shared so much about spiritual babies and the flesh, the desires of the flesh. Hallelujah. The edges of the flesh. It says spiritual babies cannot control their edges, their fleshy edges. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter how many years you've been a Christian. You can remain a spiritual baby if you identify these characteristics in you. Hallelujah. And then we said the third principle is that when you become a spiritual child, you are dominated and sometimes you are dominated sometimes by the flesh and sometimes by the spirit. Amen. So we are progressing. We are sharing about spiritual babies, spiritual child, spiritual adult, or mature, spiritual maturity when you reach there. Hallelujah. We said spiritual babies are like unbelievers. You are a saved. It's like you are a religious unbeliever. If you are a spiritual baby, you are like a religious unbeliever. That means an unbeliever who, or someone who is not saved, who has not received Jesus as his savior, but goes to church. Do you see? A person goes to church. You know, it's a church goer. They do everything in the world, but the person is in church every Sunday. He gives offerings. He gives tithes. And fundraising, they are always actively participating. But they still do all their fleshy things, all their worldly things. They quaff their beers. They drink after church. As he's going home, he passed by the beer store, the liquor store, and grabs his to go home. And it's normal life for a person like that. Do you understand? He has his wife or she has her husband, but they are boyfriends. Side men. They have side men. Side chicks. They have side chicks. Yeah. And to him, he comes to church. Do you understand? He comes to church, and after church, as he's going home, he'll pass by the side chick's house first and then go home. And it's a normal life. It's an unbeliever who is a religious person. And that is how spiritual babies are. If you are a spiritual baby, you have received Jesus Christ and you are not growing, you live a life like an unbeliever who is a religious person. Amen. And then number four, we said when you are spiritually mature, you are dominated by the Spirit. You are dominated by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you listening? When you are a mature Christian, when you have matured spiritually, you see that the flesh is suppressed. You have control over the edges of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. You can control it. Amen. You can control it. Everyone who is a person, you have flesh that if you don't control, it will take over your life. And we said that the flesh It's like a ball that you put in a bucket of water. You have to submerge. If you have to put a ball underneath the water, your hands should always be on it. That is how the flesh is. Constantly, you have to keep it under control. Because if you leave the flesh, I tell you, the flesh will disgrace you. Listen to me. There is nothing about the flesh that is nice. Take it from me. There is nothing about the flesh that is nice. You can polish it, wear a nice dress and nice suit and cover it, do nice makeup. And in the flesh even, I'm telling you that there is nothing about the flesh that is nice. You have covered a lot of unnice, unpleasant things. If we were to expose them, you yourself, you will not like it. True or not true? Even the things from the flesh that will come out, you don't like it. Anything from the flesh that comes out, you don't want to even touch it. Would you like to touch it? Do you want us to name them, the things that come from the flesh? Because your face will even change. Say, Reverend. I said there is nothing about the flesh. If you leave the flesh, it will disgrace you. If you leave the flesh can embarrass you. The flesh is so weak. Flesh. It can embarrass a whole president. The flesh can make you behave. It can give you a behavior and an act that you do and you regret. You will regret it. That is why you have to take control of the flesh. You know, even sometimes when we are praying, but me, I like people who come to pray, they are unmuted and they fall asleep. I understand. I appreciate them more than the people who come on the prayer meeting and mute themselves and go to sleep. That's a deception, that you are deceiving God, who is just there with you. That let me sign on so they know I came on, and then you go to sleep. But the flesh, like I'm sharing with you, you see, when you don't take control of it, you don't want to sleep, but you leave it. You say, let me lie down and pray a little bit. By the time you realize, the flesh is disgracing you. Or big woman. Is somebody listening to me? Yes. That is why you have to say, flesh, get up, walk. You can't sleep. And when you put the flesh in that mode, you have control over it. And the spirit is praying. Then you see the spirit arises. And the spirit is praying. You are tired. You say, you are praying. I'm praying. This is how you have to do with the flesh. Otherwise, it will disgrace you. It will disgrace you. It will make some noise that will disgrace you. Oh, it will pour out some things that will disgrace you. All kinds of things. It will bring out things that you will not like. Take control. Let the spirit man arise. And everything about the spirit is beautiful. It's beautiful. There is not a thing about the spirit that you will not like. It's marvelous. It's lovely. Hallelujah. Principle number five. Principle number five. Are you ready? Principle number five. There are three levels of temptations. Temptations of a baby, temptations of a child, and temptations of the mature. So this is principle number five, that there are three levels of temptations. Temptations of a baby, temptations of a child, and temptations of the mature. Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4 and verse number 2. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 2. It says, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. This is Jesus Christ. The Bible says he said being 40 days tempted of the devil. 40 days in temptation. And in those days, he did eat nothing. That means he was fasting. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. He was hungry at the end of these 40 days. And then listen. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time, thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus, answering, said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. Hallelujah. So, we are saying that after you are born again, you may encounter three types of temptations. The temptations of a baby, which are fleshly temptations. The temptations of a child, which are loyalty and disloyalty temptations, and the temptations of the mature, which are temptations of obedience. Hallelujah. Now, you know, or you notice that the temptations of a child are obviously different from the temptations of a grown-up, even in the natural. Isn't that so? A child, for instance, may be tempted to steal some sweets, some candies, or some cookies, whereas grown-ups may be tempted to commit adultery. Isn't that so? Grown-ups may be tempted to receive bribes. Grown-ups may be tempted to lie. Children also can lie. Amen. So in the same way, the temptations of a spiritual baby are different from the temptations of a spiritual child or a spiritual mature Christian. They are different. Hallelujah. The sin of a child is different from the sin of an adult. Amen. And when you are an adult, your sins are dangerous. Hallelujah. And they are subtle. Your temptations are subtle. Apostle Joel used to say that the sin of a child is very obvious. It's like the child can make himself very dirty easily. Child will eat chocolate or drink some juice and spill on herself. And you will see it. And it's very obvious that the child is dirty. And the child needs to be clean. But the sin or the death of an adult is hidden. The death of an adult are hidden in very wild places, such as your armpit, you know. But you see, you can walk around and you're looking clean. Isn't that so? The clothes look clean. It's not obvious, but it's hidden. Do you understand? Or even the back of your shirt, the color of your shirt. Are you listening? It can be very dirty. And it's not obvious. You can still wear a nice suit, but the back of your shirt is very nasty. It's hidden. So our sins and our temptations are not the same. Hallelujah. So the temptations of a spiritual baby have to do with the flesh. And Jesus Christ was tempted in all of these points. I want you to understand this, that the devil, he does not know which temptation may catch you. The devil will bring all forms of temptations to you. And he doesn't know which one may catch you. Hallelujah. So Jesus was tempted in all of these three stages. The babyhood, temptation, the temptations of a childhood, and the temptations of the maturity. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Do you have the NLT or the NASB? If you have the New American Standard, it says, "Therefore, we do not have an high priest." This is about Jesus. If you go back to verse 14, it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For because we do not have an high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." Are you listening? He says he can sympathize with our weaknesses. "But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet he was without sin." He was tempted in all points. Jesus was tempted in all three points. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? He was tempted first as a childhood temptation or baby temptation. As you can see, the first temptation of Jesus was typical of the temptation of a spiritual baby. Jesus was hungry. The flesh was hungry. His flesh needed food. His flesh was full of desire. So Jesus experienced a great temptation when he was asked to turn stone into bread. Are you listening? I'm saying Satan will look at where you are weak and then he will tempt you. Is somebody listening? If he sees that you like looking at young women, he will tempt you with young women. If he sees that you love money, he will tempt you with money, stealing. Are you listening? If he sees that you are a hot-tempered person, he will tempt you with not talking to your neighbor. And you feel that it is you, but you are being tempted. Jesus was being tempted at a point in time where he was hungry. Amen. If you read the scripture, Luke 4 and verse 2, in the New Living Translation, the Bible says, "Where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days, Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry." He became very hungry. So his flesh was being tempted. Amen. And it would have been very easy. You see, you have to understand the temptation of the devil. He speaks to your mind. He speaks to your mind. He doesn't come and stand in front of you with horns and fire in his mouth and say, if you are the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. You are tempted to, you feel very hungry and you say, I have the power to turn the stones into bread. That is a temptation. The same temptation that you also face when you are fasting and you are tempted to prepare the food, warm it, and just keep it in the microwave, get it ready, and wait for 6 o'clock, and you are waiting. It's the same temptation. Your body, you are hungry, and you say, I have the food, I have the microwave. Why can I not make it ready and put it, and I can eat it as soon as the thing is over? And sometimes you start warming the food. If it's going to need 3 minutes to warm, you start warming the food 5:57. 5:57, you turn the microwave on. You are being tempted. Amen. Sometimes you are fasting and then you are very hungry and then you say, what is wrong with fasting and taking communion? You see, and then you feel that it's a very spiritual thing. And then you cut big loaf of bread for your communion and pour a whole cup of some form of juice. And you say, it's a very spiritual thing. As I'm fasting, I should take communion and begin to pray. You see, and your mind is telling you that it's a right thing. It's a right thing that as you are fasting, take communion now. But it's the hunger that is dictating to you. The flesh is giving you that temptation. Oh, you don't understand what I'm sharing with you. Sometimes we are in a fasting week and then we come and then we are taking communion. You rejoice. It is like the bread that they distribute, you take 3 or 4 or 5. And you say, it's communion. But you are tempted to satisfy the hunger. And the ashes, can we bring more? Do we have more of the communion? Is it the more, the better? Is somebody listening? I see you sometimes taking more. But take more. But don't be tempted. That is what we are saying. Amen. The second temptation of Jesus was typical of a spiritual child. His loyalty, his conviction, and his stability. Hallelujah. His commitment to God was being tempted. Is somebody listening? Yes. Satan actually suggested that Jesus changes his allegiance and worship him instead of worshiping God. Amen. To change it. That now you don't serve God anymore, serve me. You see, it sounds quite absurd that Satan will actually tempt Jesus with something like that as serving him instead of God. It sounds like very absurd. But you see, he doesn't just ask him to serve him. That as he was talking to him, he's not just saying, stop serving God and serve me. Satan will never tell you that. He will not tell you that. That don't serve God anymore. Serve me. Is somebody listening? He offered him something. Satan will always offer you something. Something that will make it tempting. It's tempting. A thing is temptation. He will offer you something good. Something that is good enough for you to accept it. And say, it's worth it. It's worth taking this instead of serving God. Yes. You see, he says in Luke 4, verse 5, He says, and he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. I hope somebody is listening to me. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world, the glory in it. Please take your eyes off your phone and listen to what I'm sharing with you. Okay? Listen to what I'm sharing with you. Because you can fall easily into that temptation. And you will not even notice it, that you are being tempted. He said he offered him, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory. And its glory. For it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whom I wish. Be careful what the devil is offering you. Be careful when something is coming to you and it's from the devil. He says, to whom I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours. It shall be yours. This is the temptation that gets many Christians. To show you the kingdoms of the world. To show you the things of the world. The glory in it. We easily set God aside whenever Satan brings anything that is glorious, that is attractive. We set God aside easily. We set God aside easily when Satan brings to you a nice job with his glory. We set God aside. A nice job that makes it such that you have to work on Sunday. It's okay. I will pick it up later. We set God aside easily. We do not hesitate. We do not hesitate. It's a good job. I cannot let it go. And you see, you feel that you have landed a good job. Are you listening? He will offer you something with an extra pay. That just work these few hours and then I will pay you 2 times the usual. Or a time and a half the usual. And then it sounds very attractive. I'm going to do the same thing that I do on Mondays and just doing it on Sunday. And I'll make 1.5 times that much. For one day alone, oh, you set God aside. You could be the one who is singing and you set God aside because of that offer that the enemy has given to you. Because of that offer that he has laid before you, the glory, he says, he showed him the kingdoms and the glory. And we set God aside. He shows you a school with a career that you can finish within this time period, but includes not serving God. He says, if you will serve me, I will offer you the school. You see, you don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. And then you justify it that you don't serve God because you have to go to school. He shows you the glory that if you finish this, you will make $120,000 a year. If you are able to just serve me, I'll offer you $120,000. You don't understand the message. He offers you a husband. He offers you a wife. And now you have, you set God aside because you have a status now. Single people be singing, these days. You can't sing. I cannot. I am Mrs. This. Cannot be singing. And, other men are looking at me and I am Mrs. This. Why can I be? No, the time has passed. He has offered you a husband. He said, if you will serve me, all of this will be yours. A husband will be yours. if you will stop serving God and serve me. He offers you a child. He says, if you will leave this, if you will serve me, many mothers don't even care about hearing the word of God because Satan has taken that away from you. And you see, the temptation, you are not understanding. That he says, I'm taking care of my baby. I am taking care of my baby. And the word of God does not matter to you at all. That's why the scripture, the beginning of the scripture, it says, increasing in the knowledge of the. If heaven is on your mind, then you better increase in your knowledge. Because without the knowledge of God, the temptation will catch you. And each of these temptations, you will see that Jesus would fight it with the knowledge of God's word. And if you don't have it, you justify it. They don't take care of my baby well. That is why I have to be there. And you justify. Amen. So Jesus' commitment to God was being tempted. He was being tempted. Hallelujah. And the third temptation of Jesus was typical of the temptation of a mature person. The temptation of the mature has to do with the obedience to God. Your obedience to God. Jesus was taken to the temple and asked to throw himself down. Throwing himself down was intended to provoke God and manipulate the hand of God in performing a miracle. But Jesus knew that he must only obey God. Hallelujah. He knew that he must only obey God. Jesus was not going to be obedient to a devil, even in the smallest matter. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Principle number six. After you are born again, your spiritual age does not correspond to your natural age. After you are born again, your spiritual age does not correspond to your natural age. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. This is Jesus preaching the gospel and preaching the word of God and preaching the message about repentance and remission of sins. And now if you go down to verse 22, it says, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved son. In thee, I am well pleased. Hallelujah. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. He was just about 30 years of age when this happened. Being as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Are you listening? So Jesus was only 30 years old when the Spirit descended upon him. Hallelujah. So after you are born again, you must remember that your spiritual age never corresponds to your natural age. It doesn't matter how old you are. Being older in the natural does not mean that you are older spiritually. Being a Christian for a long time does not mean that you are a very mature spiritual Christian. Hallelujah. So John the Baptist, for instance, was spiritually mature. He was a mature spiritual person, and Jesus called him the greatest prophet who ever lived. And John the Baptist was just about Jesus' age, a few months older, I think 6 months. Isn't that so? 6 months older, but he was named the greatest prophet that ever lived. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Luke chapter 7 and verse 28, he said, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." There's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. And he was only 30 years old. So John the Baptist ministered and died around the age of 30. Around the age of 30. He was a very young man. Hallelujah. So spiritual age does not correspond with natural age. And it's very important that you understand this. Hallelujah. Because you may be a very young person. You may be a young person, but God will anoint you. And you should not let that your age overlook the spiritual maturity that God brings you to. Hallelujah. He was at that age, and the Bible says the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And it's also important to understand this, because you can have a pastor who is very young, but spiritually mature. A young person that God will anoint powerfully. Our own prophet and our founder was a medical student when God anointed him. And many people despised him. Many people despised him. He also was not of a nature that it was commonly known among the people to be like anointed people, and, you know, if you understand what I mean. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 1. Jeremiah. It says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came." You see, "to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah." So there was a king. There was a king of Judah. And this Jeremiah, the word of God came to him. Instead of a great king, in the 13th year of his reign, a king who was old king, has reigned for 13 years, the word of the Lord. He says, "It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captives in the 5th month." Next, he says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me." This is Jeremiah now speaking. He said, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly," that means before I formed thee in the womb, "I knew thee." This is of God speaking to this. He said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out," before you were born out of the womb, "I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Wow. So the day Jeremiah was born, he was a prophet. But he couldn't talk. Are you listening? He was a prophet anointed in the womb. Formed particularly in the womb for the word of God and for the work of God. Ordained a prophet. So Jeremiah's mother carrying the baby and the Jeremiah crying and urinating himself, and that was a prophet. Do you see? And uncles and aunties were around looking at this boy, looking at him growing up and started walking, and he was 10, 12, and now he's saying certain things. "Please, we saw you, we wiped your butt. What are you talking about? That you are what?"
You see, so God can anoint a young person for you as a pastor. And you have to be spiritual enough to understand that this is the man that God has chosen for me. This is the person that God has chosen for me. And I must pay heed. And if you open your heart up, you will see that this person is very young, but there's wisdom that is coming out of him. It is not from him. There is a spirit with a fountain that is flowing from his belly that is bringing forth the wisdom of God unto you. But you see, if you're not spiritual, and to understand this, you will associate spiritual maturity with natural age. And your expectation of an anointed person and a prophet is someone who is old with long beard and, you know, gray beard and, you know, gray hair, and for many years have been a pastor. And you overlook your great blessing that God sets before you. Hallelujah. So, spiritual maturity does not correspond to natural age. Hallelujah. Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry. And Jesus was the most mature spiritual person that ever walked the earth. And yet he only lived to be 33 years. Only 33 years. And today the ministry thrived more than 2,000 years later. Hallelujah. So don't assume that when a person is older, he is also spiritually wise. Amen. They do not correspond. And if you are a young person, also understand that God can anoint you for great works. That is why when God anoints a young person, embrace the person, open your heart and receive. Don't say now it's like little people's church, young people's church. No. We are spiritual people. Spiritual people. Hallelujah. And let me give you the last principle before we go. Principle number 7. After you are born again, you must grow until you become a servant of God. After you are born again, you must grow until you become a servant of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Hallelujah. You ought to come to a stage where you are a steward of the mysteries of God. Ministers of Christ. Hallelujah. Men and women, ministers of Christ. So after you are born again, you must graduate from the babyhood and the childhood and maturity into a servanthood. That is the ultimate, to be a servant of God. Hallelujah. When you are a servant of God, you do not dictate what you want to do. Because now you are a servant and the master dictates to you. God tells you, God speaks to you, and God directs you. Hallelujah. But there are many Christians who have developed through the stages, through the babyhood, the childhood, the mature stage, but have never become servants of God. They never progress to become servants of God. So these Christians, they have mature enough that they have the fruit of the Spirit. So they have love, they have patience, they have peace, they have gentleness, they have all these spiritual fruits. But they never grow to become servants of God. Hallelujah. But these qualities are beautiful. They are wonderful. They are good to have these beautiful, mature qualities and be dominated by the Spirit. However, you must grow. You must grow and become a servant of God. You have to become a servant of God. Hallelujah. That you do not live for yourself anymore. Amen. When you become a servant of God, one classic thing is that you fight for the work of God. You fight for the kingdom of God. There is a burden that comes upon you to fight for the kingdom of God. So all the shepherds, for instance, who don't have any burden, no burden, something is not working and it doesn't trouble you, it's not something that you go to bed with, you have not matured to that stage where you are a servant of God. Amen. And it's not some special people that are supposed to grow to become servants of God. We all are supposed to become servants of God. Is somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? The Bible says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. That is a scripture that is written for all of us. There ought to be a time that you have to be a teacher of the word. There ought to be a time that you also have to sit people down and teach them. There ought to be a time that you call someone and teach the person. You call someone and minister to the person. There ought to be a time that you ought to be a teacher. He said, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that you sit down like this and be taught again. So today you are sitting down and being taught, but God is expecting that you will become a teacher of the word at some stage. Amen. So young people, young ladies and young men, you are servants of God, ordained. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Jesus chooses you and ordain you. He ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruits. So you, it's a part of your Christian growth and the path that you are supposed to walk, that you come to a stage now that you bring forth fruits. Amen. So when you become a servant of God, one of the things that concerns you is soul winning. You start fighting for souls for the kingdom of God. And when you start doing that, then you start experiencing difficulties as a Christian. Hello? The fact that you are not experiencing any difficulty in your life as a Christian, it's a sign that you are spiritually immature. Should I repeat what I said? I said the fact that your Christianity is so easy. Do you understand? It's so easy. You don't like the message. I don't know. Let me go here because the people, or maybe let, I should preach this to. Because the way they are looking at me here, but let me say it here. Are you listening? That there's no challenge, there is no difficulty in serving God, no fight. You are not experiencing any fight, no stress in your Christian life. It's a sign that you are not mature Christian spiritually. You will go to heaven, but you want to enter in glory. Hallelujah! You want to enter in glory. Amen. So you must learn about the servants of God. Know about the servants of God. Every servant of God, anyone who is called a servant of God, experiences some form of suffering, some form of difficulty. Hallelujah. You look at Moses, the fight that Moses had to fight. Joshua and his fight. Jeremiah, the fight. So all these people went through some challenge and difficulty as servants of God. Hallelujah. And the apostles, Jesus Christ himself, the suffering. John the Baptist, the suffering. The apostles, the martyrs, and the missionaries. People who go into missions. People who went to missions in Africa from Europe. The suffering. And they established the work of God. Hallelujah. So fighting is the life of a servant of God. You can do more for God than just overcoming your fleshly desires. You can do more for God than just being, you know, a man married to one wife that you don't fornicate, you don't commit adultery. There's more than that. You don't drink. Yes, thank God for that. You don't drink, you don't smoke. You know, you don't commit adultery. You don't take bribes. You don't steal. You don't steal time at work. Christians don't steal time at work. Isn't that so? Amen.
Look to fight for the kingdom of God. Anything that is worth accomplishing requires a fight. Anything. In the world, you see how people fight for money. The things that they do, fight to have money. They fight through things to have money. People fight through things to have fame. When it comes to men having fame, you will see how they can hate their own brother and hate their own sister and hate their own mothers and hate their own fathers. Have you not seen that before? Oh, yes. When people want to have fame, and that is why Jesus says, if any man wants to come after me, if you have to take up your cross. You also have to be prepared to hate your brother, to hate your sister, to hate your mother, to hate your father, to hate your uncles, to hate your own life also. And when people want fame, they hate their lives. They go on campaign trails when they are sick. Are you listening? So we are going to have, for instance, we are going to start having evangelism. Be a part of it. Are you listening? Be a part of it and say, for the time I ought to be a teacher, let me go and share Christ with someone. Let me go and witness to someone. Let me go out there and tell someone about Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins. I want to also be a part of it. I have sat down for too long. For the time I ought to be a witness. So when we are announcing it, we are preparing, we are launching our evangelism this season, and we want everyone to be a part of it. Everyone to be a part of it. It is not designed only for some group of people. Everyone is expected to be a part of it. Hallelujah. It is time to grow up and grow out of this so-called mature, peaceful Christianity. That you are a peaceful Christian, you pay your tithe, you give offerings, you come to church regularly, and you are single or you are married to one person. It's time to rise up and be a servant of God who fights for the souls of men. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Are you going to do it? God will help you. When you take upon that assignment, when you take that upon you, you experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps you. The Holy Spirit enables you. The Holy Spirit helps you in other areas of life. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. You talk to people at work and they wonder how you can speak like that. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, if you do this, I promise you, I'll be with you always. Always means that when you are at work, I'll be with you. When you are talking to your boss, I'll be with you. When you are dealing with that situation at work, I'll be with you. When you are dealing with your school career, I'll be with you. When you are writing that essay, I'll be with you. When you need ideas how to do this new project that they have brought to work and they are getting ideas, he says, I'll be with you. I will help you. I will give you ideas. I'll be with you always. If you are back on this. Hallelujah. Our time is up. So, we want to end here and we will continue next time. Rise to your feet, please. Rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me. Father, we are grateful and thankful this afternoon for your word. We thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to this great wisdom and insight into your word. Holy Spirit, we are grateful and thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with all eyes closed and every head bowed, I want to give everyone who is here an opportunity to give your life to Christ. You are here, you are not born again, and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to receive the gift of salvation that comes from Jesus Christ. If that is you, wherever you are, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Is there anyone here like that? Don't let this opportunity pass you by. You are here, you are not born again. You want to receive Jesus as your Savior. Is there anyone here like that? Why don't you all join me and let's say this together. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Please wash me with your blood. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. Be my Lord. Be my Master. Be my Savior. I will serve you. I will follow you the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands together for the Lord. And please be seated.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.